Well, no surprise, markets watching some headlines once again and also reflecting a little bit on the trade action of the last 24 hours. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Jeff Peterson joins me today. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. So where are we when it comes to the trade talk with China? Because there just seems to be a lot of different bouncings going on out there.
You know, there really is, and it bounces back and forth. So let's just start off what we know for sure. We know that, China's top economic official will be traveling to Malaysia, you know, for the summit of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And, you know, that gets set, fires off here, I think, on the 24th to the 27th. And at least what we're hearing so far is that Scott Bessent and Jameson Greer will be meeting with him. And there's some, you know, discussion back and forth on what days. A lot of people are talking those discussions happen, you know, tomorrow. Some are saying it carries through for a number of days. So a lot of this information sometimes, you know, kind of gets blurred a little bit. But the good thing is that they're talking. And the fact that, do we expect anything to come out of that, you know, those meetings there? No, probably not. But hopefully some stuff will get hashed out. But what we do know is that, you know, there is additional discussion about the U.S. considering adding 100% tariffs, you know, on November 1st in retaliation to, you know, some of that's for what China's done on the rare earth minerals. We know, so there's also been discussion about, well, the U.S. may put in place some software tariffs or restrictions on software exports to China, in particular retaliation for what's been going on with the talk of restrictions on the rare earth minerals and magnets. But one of the things I think we have to kind of look at in amongst when all this is going on, we can't forget that basically the fourth plenary session of the 20th Central Committee is wrapping up in Beijing. So, you know, every 5 years they put out a central plan. Usually between those 5 year time frames, there's what they call seven plenary sessions. Usually there could be more. And think of that plenary session or plenum as really just a time when everybody within the Chinese, you know, Communist Party is coming together. And since you're in the fourth plenary one, what's important about that one is the fact that you've got recommendations are coming together for their, you know, their 15th five-year plan, as they call it. So we're going to learn a lot as we see. You know, they won't be any formal announcements that they'll put out, but we'll have to watch for, you know, is there any position changes that we see within the Chinese government? Do we see anything changing in regard to policies or procedures? Now, what's important about the fact that that's wrapping up, I think that has a lot of impact on whether or not we do see a meeting between President Trump and President Xi. You know, they're intending to meet. At least Trump has said that. We haven't had any clarification from the Chinese side, you know, at the APEC summit in South Korea at the end of the month. There is some talk out there, though, is that if ultimately President Xi feels very strongly about where he's positioned, he may not physically go ahead and meet with Trump. If we see a meeting happen, it's probably because he doesn't feel like his position is quite as strong within the Communist Party. So there's a lot at stake here. The other thing that makes me a little bit nervous, and or more so nervous, isn't the right term, Susan, that we won't accomplish much here for a little bit yet. Don't forget, on November 5th, that's when I think the Supreme Court actually hears whether or not these reciprocal tariffs and put on through the Emergency Powers Act, whether or not they're, you know, even able to be legally used. So I don't think we'll see China want to do much at all before we see the results of that. And that starts on November 5th. I'm not sure how many days. I haven't seen how many days that will carry on, Susan.
Well, you know, and we wait, Jeff, for any sort of word or inkling to what's going to happen with soybean exports, not only with China, but just all around. And you kind of have to go by some tally sheets at the ports at this point with the government shutdown.
You really do. And, you know, and we're watching those very closely. And, you know, as we take a look at the weekly export inspections this past week, you know, 54.1 million bushels were shipped out, which that was a good sign. You know, really, it's picking up. It's nowhere near the 75, 80 million we'd expect this time of year, maybe even 85 million bushels, but it's a good number. To put that in perspective, since September 1st till now, that is down 30.9%. Now, USDA says we're going to be down about 10.1%, And it's really all this discussion here is right where the big focus is on in regard to how many exports will the United States have on soybeans. Now, as we dig a little bit deeper into the numbers, what we like to do is we like to go in and look at some of the individual countries that shipments are going to and compare, well, okay, how does that compare to last year at this time? So a few things that are rather interesting, when we look from September 1st through October 16th, we do that for the 2024, and we do that for the same time frame in 2025, you know, last year China would have, imported or U.S. would have exported to China, through the 16th of October, about 142.7 million bushels. And so that's a significant amount. We know that right now it's zero. But there are some positives in this. And as we dig in to look at that, one of the positives that stands out, so if we look at the shipments that are being made to non-China countries, or non-China, basically, as we compare last year to this year we've shipped out 203,486,000 have been shipped out so far since September 1st. And that's just, countries that are not China, of course. That's 66 million bushels more than would have been shipped out to non-China countries, last year. So that is up 48%. Now, what's positive about that number is that it's by no means making up for what China would have been taking. But what it does show is those countries that do need to step up and pick up additional shipments, they are physically doing that. Now, so I'll give you a couple examples. For instance, if we jump in here and take a look at Mexico, Mexico of last year through the 16th of October would have taken about 23.3 million bushels of soybeans. This year, they're at 32.4. So they're up 40%, 9.2 million bushels. So what we're doing is we're tracking that right at the country level, watching and seeing, what countries do we need to see stepping up. I personally think as we go forward, currently the export number is 1.685 billion bushels that the U.S. would send out for the 2025 crop year for soybeans. I for sure think we can get 1.55 billion. I think 1.6 billion is in the cards, and it could be a little higher than that. But we're going to continue to research that, and we'll keep you guys informed as we learn more about that.
What are your thoughts on the basis and the continued improvement we're seeing for soybeans?
Yeah, we're seeing some very nice improvement at the crush facilities. What it's telling us, and here's, don't get confused that it's, there's plenty of beans out there. What it's telling us is that those crush facilities did not get priced ownership. So what I mean by that, they did not get bushels where they have the basis on that. So as a result, they're scrambling to do anything that they can to try to get bushels. And we're going to see these basis levels improve more at the crush facilities. Now, don't confuse that for the fact that, we're going to run out of beans. No, we have plenty of beans. I think we're going to have to take advantage of that stronger basis, maybe a little bit quicker than we think, unless China comes into this market this year. Because the thing we got to think about is that at a certain point, as these elevators get through harvest, they're going to be looking and saying, wait a minute, especially in the Western Corn Belt, a little bit different in the Eastern Corn Belt, but in the Western Corn Belt, we have plenty of beans. And they're going to look and say, okay, what is my bids that I can sell, beans by rail? What do I have that physically I can sell, at the local processor? And I think we'll see, some of those processors buy some beans from the elevators. It doesn't happen here yet, but we got to keep a very close eye on that going forward.
So could we see, Jeff, some higher bean prices in the next month or so?
I think we've had a really nice move in the beans here. They're working their way higher. We're staying above the 100 and 200 day moving averages. What that's done is that's got the funds buying this market. But I do get a little nervous in here if we don't see some type of trade deal, if the weekly export sales that we see, and there's continue, there'll be weekly export sales, there'll be shipments made, but I get a little nervous that if that's enough, if we don't see China in to keep that market going. I think there's some more room in here in the short term, but longer term, I do get a little concerned.
Well, finally, do you think we'll have a November WASDE report?
You know what? I personally do not think so. The reason I don't think so is the fact that in order for them to get all their information pulled together from those objective yield surveys, and also to think about it, there's also farmer surveys that have to be sent out. I think we're getting on the verge of not probably having a November one as we speak. My concern becomes, is that if we don't have a November one, we know that December never usually updates physically what the yields are. That means we're out to January before we get an update on the yields.
All right, Jeff Peterson joining us today. Jeff, of course, with Heartland Farm Partners. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Thursday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.